You're listening to Comics with Kenobi.
This is episode number 105, and we are not going to outsource everything over to another podcast, unlike other things you may have been reading in the world of comics. I promise. Jeff, you're not going to be outsourced.
Still remains to be seen with my day job. always a possibility.
Well, I say that because last week Marvel sent out a press release saying that Joe Quesada and CB Cebulski, the chief creative officer and the editor-in-chief respectively, are going to be at South by Southwest at Austin. If you ever get the chance to go. I went during the late 80s, early 90s. I don't remember much of it, but I know that I had a really good time.
The thought of going terrifies me. It's only 3.5 hours away from me, but just that many people in that small of a town, I just don't know.
Well, you should really go. It's an awesome event. Of course, you know, when I went, it was literally almost always only about the music.
Well, you know, I take that back. I did go once because a friend of mine had a short film that was being screened there. So I went to see his short film.
There you go. Well, anyway, that press release prompted one outlet to, you know, to say that maybe perhaps, you know, that Quesada and Cebulski were going to defend Marvel Comics, you know, as sort of this, you know, rich Garden of Eden of IP delight. And then, of course, the internet is going to internet. And so you had a lot of this, let's just call it for what it is, clickbait, filler garbage, saying that Disney was in the process of outsourcing Marvel to other publishers and would close down the division, which is...
And what was that based on?
A misrepresentation of a press release. This is what it was based on. Because it's just, you know, this whole seminar, this whole panel is essentially, you know, to remind people, hey, you know, all that great content and great entertainment you're seeing on the big screen, on the small screen, and on the video game screen comes from the rich garden of comic delights. So, you know, and of course, you know, people are always, you know, every not a week goes by where somebody is not, you know, clanging the death knell of comic books. But, you know, sorry, as much as people would like for them to go away, at least some people, they're not really going to go away. You know, I mean, all industries change and have to adapt to the times. And I'm sure comics are in the process of doing the same. But at the same time, you know, you're going to eliminate that wonderful steady stream of IP if you were to get rid of comics altogether. So don't look for Marvel to be closed. Don't look for Marvel to outsource all of its comics to other publishers. Although, you know, they do have two titles that are published by IDW. Disney does have some of its titles that are published by Dark Horse, but don't really expect that to be the norm going forward. You know, it makes sometimes it's good business sense. So, yeah, that's how it works. Other than that, comics are A-okay. Getting closer and closer to Star Wars Celebration Chicago. We haven't got a firm listing yet of the comics creators who are going to be there, at least in official capacity. We do know that John Tyler Christopher, the artist of those really awesome action figure variant covers, is going to be there with Wonder Comics again. And if you do go, seek him out at the Wonder Comics booth. He is a lovely man to converse with. He will autograph your comics for free. And I imagine if he will probably do as he did at Star Wars Celebration Orlando, there will be comics there by him to be purchased that he will happily sign for free. And we hope one day to get John on the show.
And I do apologize if anybody hears hacking in the background. No one is dying, but Archie has gotten into something that's making him cough. So I apologize. I'll be muting the mic periodically. I don't know if you're hearing it, but...
I told you to put the bowl of jalapenos up higher.
I know.
But you wouldn't listen.
I thought I could trust him. He told me he could handle it. You know,
well, you can't trust chihuahuas when it comes to jalapenos. You know that.
I'm well aware.
You should definitely know that. So and likewise, I'll have to apologize in advance. If you hear this really weird gnawing of bone, that's my daughter Harper, who is eating ribs. No, I'm just kidding. That's my dog Bo. He's chewing on another Nyla bone that I got because we have like 6 Nyla bones lying around the house, and all 3 dogs are always tussling over them. So
over the same one, probably, yeah.
Yeah. So, but this one should be short and sweet, dear listener, because we only have one comic book, and oh my gosh, what a comic book it is.
Yeah, it's basically three comics in one this week. We had Dr. Aphra number 29, and, you know, we...
He sounds like a clown has swallowed his horn.
It's especially fun when he wakes me up in the middle of the night because he shakes the whole bed.
How could a 9-pound dog shake the whole bed?
He weighs 14 pounds, thank you. He's got
oh,
fat.
He's a mega chihuahua.
Yeah, no, he's part chihuahua. He's got a lot of, I think he's got some beagle in him too. He's
okay.
kind of a, he's I call him a Shetland puppy because he's look like a small version of a much larger dog.
And on this episode of Canine and Kenobi.
Right, Canines with Kenobi. But yes, so Dr. Aphra number 29, this, you know, we keep saying that this book, or I keep saying that this book is maybe my favorite of the ones that are currently in production, and issues like this are the main reason for that. Let's start with the cover. She's got a jetpack, which we don't see in the book, spoilers, but I just love this because it looks like she's smiling. She actually looks happy for the first time in a long time.
Oh, she does. And you know what? This is just a wonderful, evocative cover that sings to me of Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers and the Rocketeer. And, you know, this is Ashley M. Witter, who, of course, as we have said, episode in and episode out is absolutely devastatingly killing every Dr. Aphra cover she draws. And this one is no different. I mean, this to me just this is exuberant joy, you know, with a blaster. Everything about it, you know, from the leather helmet to the goggles, to, like you said, to the jetpack. I mean, this is something that would be found, you know, in a 1930s newspaper strip of Flash Gordon. And I love it, and I want more of it. And I really, 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 really hope that Marvel actually makes this into a poster. And one other thing I would like to denote, do you notice how on the cover that the Dr. Aphra logo has been modified so to fit the blaster? It's been scrunched over to the left.
Yes.
Very nice.
I like it. Yeah, I think it's great. And it would make a great poster with that, just like that, with everything but the issue number, even keep the title on there. It would just make a great, yeah, it would make a great display piece.
Definitely so, definitely so. I do hope that when we do eventually get a Dr. Aphra omnibus, maybe this is the cover. Or at least, you know, like a variant cover, like a direct market comic book shop only cover for the omnibus. So.
Yeah, it would be very cool. So this is Worst Among Equals Part IV. Thank you, Rocky.
At least some good has come out of Rocky IV.
Yes. So. Other than the soundtrack.
That's true.
And
that's
apparently
true.
Creed 2.
Creative
team from last time, you want to give us a rundown on that one, Matt?
We've got Mr. Simon Spurrier, don't call him Cy. Art by Emilio Lazo. Colors by Rochelle Rosenberg. And what colors they are.
Yes.
Letters by Virtual Calligraphy's Joe Caramagna. In addition to Ashley Witter on the main cover, we have the Greatest Moments variant, which is done by Kevin Nolan. And then, of course, the assistant editor is Tom Groneman. The editor is Mark Panaccia. And, of course, there is always a very special thanks to Kieran Gillen.
As
and, of course...
Should be.
Oh, yes. Well, as well as definitely there should be. So, my goodness gracious. To get you all caught up, if you are not caught up, Aphra and Triple Zero have found themselves tethered together. They have a bomb that is going to detonate, and they have to find one person who can remove said bomb. This is all part of a wonderful experiment by your friend and mine, Dr. Cornelius Evazan, who is actually nobody's friend. Except maybe Ponda Baba. And he is watching their every move through a live feed thanks to he's hacked the video feed in Triple Zero's eyes. And now, to make things even more interesting, and I would even say contemporary, he's expanded that feed to transmit across every screen on the planet of Milvane. Of course, Milvane is a law and order planet, so everybody is chasing after these two. Everybody, even the dead. The dead are chasing them. Tam Posla, who has been infected by, I guess, what did you call it last time, Jeff? A force fungus?
Yes, the force fungus.
It gives a whole new branch to an argument of can there be gray Jedi if it's a fungus.
Right. So, certainly green, at least.
And, yes. And then, don't forget Winloss and Nock. They are also, looking for the pair. And, of course, there is the young orphan Vulada, who turned on them last issue.
And turned them over to the bounty hunters and the police.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Aphra and And Triple Zero, Trip, as we like to call him, as Cy calls him in the cup. Excuse me, sorry, I'm sorry, Mr. Spurrier, won't happen again. Trip, you know, and so they are on the run. Everybody wants them. And so we open up, and it seems we're aboard an Imperial ship with a blue, you know, hologram here. You
I
know?
Love this because it looks, it's very much, it's a basically, if it wasn't a female, I would assume it was the Emperor.
Yeah, it's true. That's
but
true.
We'd have a female face talking to he's a general or is he a? I believe,
but
an officer, an imperial
he's just
officer.
An officer. He's a captain. He's a captain.
That's
here.
It. And so they're having this. They're having this great back and forth. He says the woman is saying these scenes that we're seeing are unacceptable. Viewing figures in the billions already. It won't stand, Captain. It won't stand at all. We cannot allow a pair of raggedy hobos to infect the locals with mischievous ideas. And he says, no, ma'am, it's just Milvane accepted Imperial rule in the proviso that we maintain an invisible presence. We can't intervene. And I love this because she basically says, can't? Exactly which division do you think you're in, Captain? Are you some brainwashed stormtrooper? Are you some feckless pilot or a belligerent inspector? No, ma'am. No, ma'am. You are the laser-hot edge of the Emperor's dream. Hold your head high and spit on can't, Captain. For we few, we cunning, we bold, we are the coalition of progress. We are public relations.
And that is, I
laughed out loud.
That is so true. And that is such a wonderful jibe against, you know, modern society right now, because everything is all about perception. And whoever can spin it the right way is usually victorious or wins the day. So, it would stand to reason that, of course, that the Empire would have an entire segment dedicated to nothing but propaganda and public relations. And, of course, it makes perfect sense that they would have their own flagship, the Enduring Pride.
And can we talk about the design of this ship?
Isn't that awesome?
Looks a little like the Alien Queen.
It does, doesn't it?
The way it's, the front of it at least. It looks like it's got a maw that's opening up, a jaw that's opening up, and I just would expect to see a smaller head come out. Very, very cool, and I love the little dish on top, which I'm assuming is part of the communications array.
Oh, it would have to be, definitely so. Then, of course, this being an Imperial vessel, that communications array is obviously augmented by a lot of firepower on the undercarriage.
Yes, absolutely, of course. But I just, I love the sense of humor in this book. I love the design of this ship. And we come back, and they're basically having a marketing meeting about what to do. This is all about, they're missing are spreadsheets and PowerPoints. Life.
And for good reason, thankfully.
Yeah. And they've even got their own Lobot, it looks like, a couple of them.
Oh, definitely. Definitely so. I mean, I guess you would have to, because if you're dealing with that much PR and you're having to monitor so much traffic and perceptions and consumer reactions and citizen concerns, et cetera, it would make perfect sense. So
and they're getting a random selection of the basically the trending topics that are going on with everybody that's talking about what's happening. And we get people that are saying it's a shame because Aphra is very attractive, and other people saying, should have known someone would rat them out. Money speaks louder than words, always have been that way. And you know what they say? In the Empire, law comes before loyalty. And they're watching all of this, and then we get down to the planet, and Aphra has Trip on her back, and she's on a ledge with all these guns pointed at her, and Tampazla is basically standing there helping them render judgment on her.
Oh, definitely. This is our I love this because Simon Spurrier is British, and if you are a British comics reader, no matter your age, you know Judge Dredd.
Yes.
So, and then this is sort of our Judge Dredd moment here.
What I love that when they throw it to Tampazla, she says, "Let them be shot with blasters until profoundly dead, and then flung into the vapors of the underworld without memorial." And we have sentences passed, and I love this because Aphra gets a great idea. She and Trip are talking. His speech on the middle of page 7 cracked me up because she's trying to figure out what to do, and he says, "Interesting fact, Aphra, there are only two systems in the galaxy where..." Because she's trying to figure out, she's saying, "Look, you can't let that psychopath judge us. He's infected with psychic spores. He's not even properly alive." And Trip says, "Interesting fact, there are only two systems in the galaxy with a law against undead fungal policemen, and we're not in either. I have extensive files." Yubum League's attempts to turn these idiots into each against each other are breathtakingly ill-informed, and I say that despite not breathing in the first place.
That is sparkly dialogue. Spurrier is on fire.
I love it so much. And she said, you know, have you got a better idea? He says, well, yes, take it from me, one unsurpassed in his art, doctor. What professionals most fear is being outdone by amateurs. And in law enforcement, there's a name for that. And Afra knows exactly where he's going. She just yells out vigilante and points at him. So she basically turns him in for being not being actually a police officer and taking matters into his own hands. The cops all turn around to turn on him, and they take that moment to run away. They zap him with some sort of electrodes or something. And then one of them just says, kill it.
Kill it.
And Afra says, what should we do? He says, and Tripp says, I would have thought it would be drearily obvious, doctor. Run, fleshy steed, run.
Isn't that great?
I could watch these two all day.
This is laugh out loud funny. This is, you know, again, this is what makes this comic so much fun, because it's not afraid to poke fun at itself.
No.
Nor be weird, but it's still very much Star Wars.
It's the Buffy the Vampire Slayer of the Star Wars universe. Star Wars comics.
Oh, it very much is. And, you know, and they're running off, and then of course this is clever, I thought, because we get these sort of small panels that are inset. And we're seeing the viewers here, you know, and so we're getting all these different ideas, you know, of what people are seeing and thinking, you know, just saying, dear, between us, it's nice to see the helmets fight each other for a change. And then we go down, she's getting away. You keep running, honey, keep running. Whoa, you see that one Logoon's head explode? And you get to the Imperial PR. Awesome.
Yeah, you don't really know what she's thinking at this point, but I love it.
It's pretty clear that Imperial PR is starting to realize that they're about to really lose control of the situation here, because public sentiment is shifting despite Milvane's reputation for an adoration of all things law and order.
Yes. And so on the next page, Afra and Tripp are running, and she basically tells him, look, I need to reattach your legs. I found a fuel stop with a repair rig. She says, I can reattach your legs. And he says that you would need to disengage my matrix first, and I'm not having it. And she gives him this sappy speech about trusting people and everything, and how the world is turning toxic because nobody trusts. And she says, I guess maybe what I'm saying is, when you're surrounded by treachery, a little faith in each other might be the strongest force there is. And I love that everybody, the reactions are, oh. And then, of course, from the PR director.
And, see, that's a big thing for Afra to say here, you know, because we have discussed before about how morally conflicted she is, and she knows that she's a bad person. But she, you know, it's almost like it's like she can't help but being bad because that's her nature. But, you know, at the same time, her nature realizes, you know, you can't always be like this.
Well, or so, is she just doing that because it's the path of least resistance to get her to get done what she needs to get done? I don't know. That's the beauty of this character, is you never really know.
No, and you don't. I mean, it keeps you on your toes, because just when you think you know her, you don't.
Right. And I love Triple Zero's response to it all. He says, I do believe I feel nauseous. It's quite remarkable. I literally have no stomach, but your sappy nonsense makes me wish to vomit.
Hilarious.
And so he says, unfortunately, we don't have a choice. You may operate on me. And I like the way they do this, because it's almost like the transmission is going off, which I guess it is. It is. It's going dark.
Because she shuts him down. So, and then, I mean, you know, it's just, and it's interesting because, he leads us into this where Triple Zero says, but know that if you try anything while I'm on standby, I shall, unbelievable agonies, yada, yada, seriously, Trip, it'll only take 10 minutes, so trust me, I'm a doctor, zip. And then we see the 10 minutes or so across, you know, our four viewers.
Yeah, great. I love the way they did that too. Each panel gets its own 10 minutes or so.
Because they're tense, and, you know, and 10 minutes, and they can't be bothered. They can't be bothered to move.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to miss it when he comes back online. And he comes back online. Okay, you're back online. How do you feel? Diagnostic checks in progress. We have 5 hours and 22 minutes before these bombs detonate. We are 67 clicks from the premises of Professor Prexo, and you appear to have fixed me. And
everybody's,
you know, this
happy
look,
except the Empire.
But yeah, her face hasn't changed. Just,
yep.
Just
she's
monitoring
just processing
the situation.
Data. That's all she's doing. And then she says, "What? Why do you say we get out of here?" And Trip, why are you looking at me like that? And she says, "Trip, I fixed you." What? And he clicks out one of his hands, grabs her, and I guess apparently, is it Winloss or Knock? I can't remember which one is the husband and which one is the wife.
I think that's Nock, isn't
okay,
it?
Okay, I think you're right.
Nock was the Trandoshan.
Okay, yeah, so Nock has apparently thrown a spear at him, but I couldn't really tell what was happening until they told me later, because I didn't see the spear falling in this. Where is it, clanks in this panel?
Yeah.
But he saves her life, and she says, that spear would have taken my arm. He says, nonsense, I saved myself. Because if we, in case anybody forgot, they can't get too far away from one another without them both exploding. And he says, this freighter is going in the right direction. If it hadn't dragged along your sloshing meat sack, both bombs would have blown, a pragmatic choice. He says, okay, whatever, you owe me for fixing you, because somewhere in that evil coating is a sliver of decency, which I don't know where she gets that from. And of course, he then says, retract that slander or I shall perforate your eyelids.
Yeah, that's a great line. Immediately, or I shall perforate your eyelids. That's hell. That's going to have to wait, Trip. All the riches of the galaxy, but there's one thing the Empire will never defeat, and it sure as hell ain't hope. Again, hope.
It's traffic. I love it. Like I said, the jokes in this book are this is one of the best issues we've had of this book so far, as far as
it
I'm
is.
Concerned. Maybe the best.
This is I would like to see this animated.
Absolutely.
I really would.
I wish that they would do an animated series of every story arc from this series. It would be
oh, gosh,
wonderful.
Yeah.
And
be
it would
amazing.
Be Disney Plus. Put it on Disney Plus. We're already going to be paying for it. So
exactly.
So she finally they're hopping from car to car trying to get away from Nock.
And again, a great line. Slow down. I was built for agony, not agility. Quit moaning and move, Aphra replies to 000. And then boom. There's Nock. Yeah. Oh dear, and she's leaping onto him because she's got a jetpack on, obviously, and then but fuzzat, bleep, Nock drops the spear, and what? Wait, where did? Bleep. I know that sound. 000 says. BT-1.
They think that they found him. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and it's interesting because again, this is where Star Wars has always played. The way with droids that really, is kind of, they're not robots. They're not soulless, She's like, wait, Trip, hold it. They shot him with an ion net. His motor function should be fried. And of course, 000, not him. He's too strong. He found a way to survive it. So, here you have 000.
He's going full Chewbacca with the meat on Endor. Right now.
Yeah, he totally is. He
and
totally
she's,
is.
She's trying to stop him because she's trying to reason with. Look, the Trandoshan Nock missed. She doesn't see. Doesn't that seem unlikely? And wherever she is, her husband Winloss isn't far away. Trip, I think it's a. And he's already there. Oh. He says, "BT, I knew you wouldn't turn on me." They get there, and of course, it's the husk. Basically, is it actually BT or is this just an R5 droid?
BT. I think it might actually be BT, but it's just, probably just been sort of, rejiggered to do some basic functioning.
Yeah.
Although, so, we wouldn't know immediately because, we've got to see BT do the work.
Right. And then they realize that it's just a husk of something, and then Winloss says in the cockpit, bleep, freaking bleep, suckers. And I love Trip just says, oh, as the walls start closing around him. And Nock says, adequate plan, I'll admit. He goes, oh, you were great too, sweetie. Livestock cage is sealed and secure. Let's go get paid. So they've trapped them.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. And of course, above Milvane, they realize that there's something, the Imperials realize there's something going on because, they're starting to get the duty reports. Ma'am, increase of reports of public aggression. 3 incidents of civilian disrespect per minute and climbing. The people, they kind of like these 2 rogues, ma'am. They're going to get rowdy if this ends badly. And I love this sigh. Listen carefully, Captain. On 700 occupied worlds, this division lauds Milvane as a model Imperial planet. 63 systems have capitulated as a direct result of its example rather than face Imperial aggression. An invisible touch, a supportive touch, that's the offer. As long as the provincial nobodies enforce order and safeguard the reputation of the Empire, we rule from afar. So you're saying we shouldn't intervene. Does it look like anyone's safeguarding our reputation down there, idiot? The invisible touch has failed. Arm the railgun.
I love that. Arm the railgun was great.
And then, but, ma'am, might direct action do more harm than good? Surely the subtle approach How many times, Captain? The railgun fires. We are Imperial PR. And then we cut to a win-loss and knock. Break left, break left.
And, great, great page of this explosion. Just ripping the platform that they're on to pieces and blowing all the ships everywhere.
That little speech inset box. We don't do subtle. And of course, that gets us back to Aphra and Trip. Void, we lost an engine. Trip, yes, Doctor. And then she's getting emotional here, or not emotional, but sort of emotive. Do you think people can change? And then this dialogue that Spurrier has written.
This is where Triple Zero. I'm realizing Triple Zero here. This dialogue, as they're falling, he's basically telling Aphra, the problem, the reason that you are doomed to repeat the same errors until your end, is that you are a disaster.
But, I mean, he builds up to it.
He builds up to it. And he is the voice, the inner voice of someone with depression and anxiety. He is that inner voice that is constantly telling those who deal with depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, things like that. He is that inner voice that is telling them how awful they are and why they don't deserve to be happy.
When, in fact, everyone deserves to be happy.
Exactly. So,
but I think at the same time, he's also, you know, calling her out because, I mean,
it's not unwarranted. I will, based on her actions, but I think I'm starting to see that she is really struggling with it, and he's certainly not going to do anything to help.
No, he's not, because I mean he's not her friend. You know, let's make that very clear. He is a companion, yes, but he is not her friend. You know, he thinks that she is beneath him. He thinks all organics are beneath him, but you know she is to him she is a means to an end, and you know. It's a very lopsided, unhealthy relationship because it's she gives and gives and he takes and takes.
Yes.
So it's certainly unfair to her. And that's what puzzles me about Aphra, because we know that she is a very strong person. I mean, she has some flaws, yes, but, you know, again, everyone does. But she is also very well aware of her place in the universe. And you know that's why she, I think, to an extent, throughout all this time that we've been reading about her since way back in Darth Vader Volume 1, you know, is she is trying to make her way through it, you know, to not just survive, but also so that she herself can thrive.
Right.
And again, you know, the way Spurrier is writing her now, you know, building off of how Kieran Gillen wrote her, is, you know, we have become very emotionally invested into this character and we want her to succeed. We want, you know, we've said this before, we want her to be happy. But ultimately, you know, for her to be happy, she's going to have to realize that she has to take that first real big, bold step to do so. And then, of course, it doesn't help, you know, that, you know, as their platform is falling, you know, and he says that, you know, like you say, you know, he says, you know, you are a disaster. And she goes, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. And since you are also a pathetically lonely little ape, you deal with both inadequacies the same way. You drag everyone down with you.
And I love the way that this page was framed. It's almost like somebody took a photo in portrait mode instead of horizontal mode, mm-hmm. instead of landscape mode, so that the depth to which they're falling, it makes it look that much more closed in and like there's nowhere to go. Yeah, love the way it's framed.
It's pretty sharp, pretty sharp. So solid issue, real good to go. Of course, you know, it ends on that question, you know, to be continued. Well, yeah, we know it's going to be to be continued.
So, we've seen the solicits.
Yes, exactly. So, but you know, we look at the cover for issue number 30. Solid. Clearly, they've been looks like they've been captured. It's got almost like a Wings Band on the Run vibe to it.
Yeah, very much.
So, I wonder how many of our listeners are going to actually know what that is.
More than you. I mean, it's Paul McCartney. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Did you know Paul McCartney was in a band before Wings?
I heard that.
It's weird. That's just amazing.
And if you don't know Wings, folks, they're the ones that do that song that you hate every Christmas that I happen to love.
I love that song.
I do, too. Everybody else I know hates it.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Oh, that one. So that's going to do it. But again, if you're not reading this book, go out and read it. This, like I said, this is going to be hard to top as my favorite issue of 2019. I know we're early in the year, but man, this one just had a little bit of everything for me.
And, yeah, it was a good issue.
Absolutely loved it and cannot wait to see how this story continues/concludes whenever we get there.
We will certainly not be wanting for new Star Wars content because March 6th brings us not one, not two, but three brand new Star Wars comics from Marvel, as well as a trade paperback collecting, I believe, the first six issues of Marvel's Ewoks from the 1980s. Along with another adaptation of The Empire Strikes Back in graphic novel form from IDW Publishing, done in that sort of a specific animated style manner that it has done with previous adaptations. But those Marvel Star Wars comics, oh boy. We have Age of Republic, Padme Amidala. That's going to be a good one. We have the first issue of the five-issue Star Wars Vader Dark Visions. That's going to be intriguing because the writer, Dennis Hallam, wrote one of my favorite comics of all time, which was the Legion of Monsters miniseries.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, love that one. And then, of course, we have a brand new story arc in the flagship Star Wars comic. This is issue number 62. This is The Scourging of Shoturin. This is the last arc that Kieran Gillen is going to be writing for Marvel Star Wars for the immediate future, if not for a while. And, you know, it's going to start off with that wonderful Gerald Perel cover of Queen Trios and Princess Leia.
And so where we assume Leia is going to go scorched earth on Shoturin.
That seems to be the impression based on what we read in the solicits.
Unleash, which could be great.
Yes, yes, this is going to be intriguing. So cannot wait for that one. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Excellent. So, and we will be back. Obviously, we'll be back next week to discuss all of those. So until then, Matt, thank you for joining me this evening.
Thank you for having me along with the dogs.
Yes, and mine as well. And until next time, for Comics with Kenobi, I'm Jeff.
I am Matt.
And may the Force be with you.
Always. And just a quick brief moment to say, hey, Amy Wishman-Nalen, we hope you are feeling better and recovering, and we cannot wait to get you back into the podcast booth so we can get those young patrons talking about Star Wars adventures. Feel better.
And may the Force be with you, Amy.
Definitely with you. Always.
Comics with Kenobi's theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.
Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy.
Bud, stop peeing!